You're listening to Green Left Radio, and for our first live interview for the program, we are very happy to be having to have Quinn here, who is part of WOCAID Australia. WOCAID Australia is actually a new kind of organisation that has been organising, I guess, a number of direct actions, including blockades of coal ports in within Newcastle. And Quinn was actually someone who was actually part of some of the earlier kind of mobilisations that WOCAID Australia had organised around the Newcastle coal port. So, good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, Jacob. Thanks for having us this morning.
Yeah. So maybe to kind of start off, in terms of WOCAID Australia, I guess I wanted to sort of hear, I guess, just for our listeners, because I guess one of the purposes of this interview was to sort of give a bit of a plug for some of the activities that WOCAID Australia is doing. I'm aware that you're planning a series of mobilisations in June, late June, and I guess what can you tell us, I guess, about WOCAID Australia and, you know, some of its aims and objectives before we go into sort of, go into some of the specific details of what you have coming up?
Thank you. So, yeah, just want to start acknowledging that I'm coming from Darug country today and, paying respects to elders of the community, past, present and emerging, recognising that I'm talking with you on unceded land. We kicked off WOCAID Australia late last year for a mobilisation in Newcastle, where we targeted the coal port, which is the largest coal port in the world. And then just recently we finished off some mobilisation at the Port of Botany, which is the largest container terminal in the continent, and also the first point of invasion as well. So I guess our tactics is that we've been targeting through a sustained period of disruptions infrastructure which we deem to be of importance to the Australian operation, so important in a political, economic, material and symbolic sense. I guess in that, trying to identify the Australian operation as a whole as opposed to kind of known industries which are often targeted by similar kinds of disruption. Trying to build a movement and a culture of a sustained resistance in the climate movement, and pivoting away from those direct industries to a kind of systemic intersectional approach.
And going into, I guess, about that kind of systematic approach, because I guess, you know, probably one of the most important kind of things that is obviously kind of driving, a lot of people at WOCAID Australia or any sort of person who is protesting for kind of climate justice is ultimately there is obviously, you know, a political kind of context. And I guess, I want to kind of hear from your sort of, you know, the context of why it is actually so important to put your body on the line to fight for climate justice, especially in the context of the climate emergency that we're actually facing today. You know, we're already facing the massive impacts of climate change right now through the massive sort of floods. We have a government, we have a government that is essentially addicted to burning coal in the ground. So I kind of want to hear, I guess, some of your sort of analyses on, you know, your perspective on what has driven, people to this point that we have to blockade these new coal ports.
For sure, yeah. So a lot of the individuals involved have come from various kind of climate or social justice movements. There's a whole lot of people that have been working towards WOCAID Australia, in the attempt to try to use some tactics which have been employed and have been successful around the continent, so non-violent direct action, to cause significant enough disruption that we are creating a kind of a crisis which can't be ignored. In doing the kind of tactics that we are, we're using people's bodies and very, very safe and calculated ways, which can impact the kind of significant industries and significant infrastructure to the Australian operation. It's quite a strategic kind of direction that we're going in, and certainly trying to encourage people already in those spaces to think about how they might be able to be the most effective in their actions. trying in that space, kind of trying to, encourage and create a kind of strategic organizing culture of how we can move forward on with a systemic approach that brings in a lot of people that are already in this space.
And so what can you tell us, I guess, a bit about some of the kind of upcoming activities that Blockade Australia has kind of planned? Like, from my understanding, you actually have some information sessions coming up, but you've also planned a broader sort of mobilisation. I guess, what can you tell us about, you know, some of the info nights coming up and also the main sort of mobilisation that you're kind of building towards, and also what is being targeted in terms of this, in terms of the strategic approach?
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, we've got a few info night sessions coming up and a few opportunities for people to come and ask questions and get involved and figure out how they might best be able to jump into this space. So we've got, I believe, an online info night coming up on the 20th of April. There are a few people around the east coast of the continent at the moment who are organising in-person info sessions as well. So, yeah, we definitely encourage people to jump onto our socials. We've got Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and some Telegram channels for people that might be interested in staying in the loop. And, at the moment, the main thing that we're working towards is mobilising people to come to Sydney in June 27th to July 2nd employing, I guess, some similar tactics to what people would have seen already with the previous mobilisation. But also trying to make those tactics quite accessible for people who maybe haven't been in this direct action space before. Ideally trying to get hundreds of people to come and mobilise in the streets of Sydney, using some disruptive tactics, which some of which may include, similar kind of devices and similar actions that people would have seen already. But, definitely going to be a bit more flexible to people's different skill sets and capacity to come and get involved. So by no means does it require people who, have specialised skill sets to come and get involved. There's a number of ways that people can do that. The info nights and there'll be a series of NVDA trainings and things like that people can get a bit more comfortable in figuring out where their place might be in getting involved.
Yeah. And what can you tell us, I guess, about the main mobilisation that's sort of coming up? Because I noticed there is some dates put forward on the Blockade kind of Australia kind of Facebook page.
Yeah. So that mobilisation is going to be a lot of those actions are going to be taking place in the heart of Sydney. The specifics of which, I guess, will kind of determine as we get closer to the date and as more people start getting involved. Coming out of the previous two mobilizations, trying to target areas of significant importance to the Australian operation. So we deem Sydney to be, quite important in a number of ways. Obviously, kind of economic hub of the Australian state, but also a symbolic importance as well, being that Sydney being the first kind of city of the Australian project, where first people were dispossessed over 250 years ago, and trying to capture in people's minds that if we come together through a period of sustained disruption, and ideally in larger numbers than we've seen already as well, then we can create meaningful change to try to resist climate inaction, which is the name of the mobilisation. So, I would whilst the specifics are yet to be determined, I think if people are interested and have ideas and have ways that they think they'd like to be involved, it's definitely kind of flexible and organic to people's, interests and a lot of the tactics being, definitely, non-violent civil disobedience and direct action, But yeah, those actions will kind of be determined on, yeah, what people are willing to do. But I guess trying to create the space for large numbers of people to come and occupy parts of the city and critical infrastructure, which we're intending to shut down the city of Sydney for that period.
Yeah. The dates I noticed for that is from June 27th to July 2nd. Is that sort of set in stone in terms of like the planned sort of mobilisation? Even though you have no specific details, that's sort of when you're sort of planning it around?
Yeah. So that's definitely the period. And yeah, between now and then, we're trying to reach out to people and get people to come to Sydney for that period. And there'll be opportunities for people to upskill in particular ways coming up to those dates. That's pretty set in stone. So from the 27th of June, going to see a lot of kind of road tactics and a number of other tactics, which I guess we've seen employed by different groups around the continent previously, as well as the previous mobilisation. But yeah, I guess something a bit different, obviously. The last two mobilisations have been closed mobilisations. We haven't announced them ahead of time. So this is a bit different, and as you can imagine, takes a fair bit of organising, trying to get people from around the continent to come and get involved. So yeah, it's quite a bit of outreach, quite a bit of skill sharing, and I guess we're excited to see what kind of enthusiasm comes into that space.
All right. So Quinn, we're running a bit out of time for our interview, but do you have, any final comments or any concluding comments that you'd like to kind of make for our listeners for the program?
For sure. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I think it's really great. The kind of tactics that we've employed are quite a, important example in our minds of the significant kind of meaningful impact that a small amount of individuals can make, and that, coming up to the election in particular, there's definitely a narrative and an understanding in the Australian political landscape of ways that we can create change, but we recognise that the Australian system is rigged to benefit those in the ruling class and positions of power, and so we're definitely encouraging people to broaden the scope in the way that they act as political agents, and thinking about how people from around this continent, regardless of their skill sets, regardless of the spaces that they might have been in previously, is that there's a space for everyone in this movement, and that there's some really great ways that people can get involved. There's some really amazing communities in this space, and I think, we're at a point in time where the window is closing on meaningful climate action, and non-violent direct action is, and the tactics that we've employed have been proven to be successful in pushing for the kind of change that we need. And that, whilst we've seen the response of the state, and by no means are we the first to face the repression of the state, and as we know, the police and prisons operate to support the power of the Australian operation. We're not disincentivised by the response of the state, and we're not going to be scared or intimidated by the way that they are responding. We're frustrated and angered by the way that our friends are being treated by the state in response. We still have a couple of friends who are going through the legal system now as a result of their actions. But, yeah, we're going to continue to keep on resisting and to kind of force political change that we deem is necessary for a safe planet and for a fairer society.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Quinn. And, yeah, we'll definitely keep the kind of dates in mind. And in fact, 3CR will definitely at this point, will Free CR will likely try and be covering the blockade as it goes on from our kind of different kind of programs. And of course, the program that you're being interviewed by, Green Left Radio, will also absolutely try and cover the blockade in the lead up, but also during it for Green Left as well. So yeah, all the solidarity to you, Green. And thanks so very much for being on our program.
Thanks for the solidarity and for having us on. And just a final call to action for anyone interested or have questions. There's definitely the space for you. So please reach out, get in contact, and see how you might be able to learn more.
Yeah, thank you very much again, Quinn.
Great. Thanks, Jacob. Take care.